Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce in one of the most critical and fundamental digital skills of our time through its spreadsheet programmes.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. On this week's podcast, I'll be talking to Convoy publican Manus Gallagher about his frustration in relation to insurance cover. I'll also be speaking to Bernard Gallagher, owner of CBM Signs in Letterkenny, about an eventful 12 months. And joining me for this week's Backing Business segment will be Head of Business at Letterkenny Institute of Technology, Michael Margie. Manus Gallagher is owner of Manny's Bar and Convoy. He's the third generation Manus Gallagher to run the well-known establishment, having taken over the business in 1997. Manus's frustration at being closed since March 14th, 2020 has been compounded by his inability to find a company that will insure his business. Because his premises has a thatched roof, he can't get insurance cover. And because the 300-year-old building is now listed as a protected structure, he's not allowed to replace the thatch. Manus began by telling me when he bolted the doors of his pub last year, he never envisaged still being closed 12 months later.
Saturday the 14th of March, Kieran, we decided just to close up shop. At that time, I thought we were closing for 3 or 4 weeks. We thought we'd get opened maybe a few weeks after Easter again, but a year down the line, we're still closed, and it's not looking good just for a couple of months yet anyhow, you know. So since then, we have a few problems. Insurance would be one of my main problems. We have a serious problem with insurance at the minute, you know.
Explain your difficulty.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. Pre-COVID, the insurance... Well, I'll go back to 2019, sorry. Starting off January, February 19, grand, no problem, battered on. We have my insurance runs from April to April. And my insurance company, obviously I can't mention names, my opinion, they were trying to get shot of me good number of years, because their premiums went from 10 months in this last couple of years. They expect me to pay off a premium maybe of $8,000 over 8 months. Now, €1,000 a month for a small pub is a wee bit over the top, and my turnover wouldn't justify it. But anyhow, going on to November, that would have been the last payment for the insurance, November 19. And I thought then, right, it's going to be too quiet. And it was too quiet, and the payment for the last payment for the insurance didn't go through. So I says, right, we're coming up to Christmas now in the new year. I'll square them up in January, because... with 7 already payments through, I was covered well into February. So come the new year, December, or the new year, sorry, Christmas and the new year was pretty quiet as well. So the new year's come in, and I got a letter from the insurance company that I better pay this, more or less, you know. So I got in contact with them, and they says I have to pay it up front. And I said, look, I haven't, the money's not there just to give you €1,000 up front. So I tried to do a deal with them. I would pay them, give them 3 cheques. They wouldn't accept it. They wanted a card payment up front for €1,000. And I says, I just haven't got it. So cutting a long story short, a week later I got a letter back from them that my policy was cancelled and I have no insurance since, Kieran. And I've tried. I have a file here in front of me. There are 18 to 20 different people that I've asked for insurance, and they do not cover thatched properties. They'll not cover my thatched roof, more or less.
How frustrating is that?
It's pretty frustrating now, Kieran, all right, you know. The fact is that the building is an old building. It's a listed building. It's been recently included in the Protected Structures of Ireland, and I can't get insurance because of this thatched roof. I wanted to take the thatched roof off. I wasn't allowed to. I was told I'd be taken to court if I take the thatched roof off. And I don't know where the problem lies. Lies with the government. Are they going to step in for me? But somebody needs to step in, because it's gone on too long now. It's actually one of the insurance companies says, oh, we can't give you a quotation because you haven't had insurance for over a year. I haven't had insurance over a year because I can't get insurance. That's the bottom line, you know.
Have you sought help from any quarter to try and help your situation?
Well, I have two insurance brokers were trying to get me insurance. I was on to the Vintners. They put me on to a couple of people, but no matter who I've tried, they won't. They're turning down. Everything's grand. You mentioned a thatch roof. Once a thatch roof's mentioned, I'm very sorry. That's just the bottom line.
You mentioned a listed building. Talk to me about the history of the building.
Well, the building, Kieran, goes back to the mid-1700s. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. I rethatched the front of the roof there on 2019. Now, to get grants and things through, which grants is another problem, but I had to get a conservationist, and the man came out to me was Duncan McLaren. And Duncan come in and he looked through the building. He was up in the attic, and when he come back from the attic, he says to me, he says, you know, that building is pre-Victorian. And I says, right, what do you mean? He says, your thatch is pre-Victorian. It's pre-Victorian thatch. He says, meaning that it's pre-1800. So he says, you're probably talking mid-1700s, this building is, you know. So it's there's a bit of history with it. I don't know all the history on the building, you know, but it's an old building.
And how long has the business been in the family, Thomas?
My grandfather, he leased the bar in 1897. He leased it for 3 years, and he bought the bar then in 1900. So I'd be the third. I'm the third generation Gallagher, third generation Manus Gallagher, actually, now to run the pub here.
You mentioned that you've had the premises rethatched. That's not a cheap exercise.
No, indeed it's not, Kieran. That's only the front of it. The front of it cost the guts of 20 grand there just to do the front of it. I go back a few years. It was fully rethatched in 1985, and that would probably be the last time my father had anything to do with the thatch roof, you know. I'm not sure. I think it was on around 30,000 at the time. Now, I don't know what grants my father got or received at that stage, you know. I rethatched it then in 2007, and the fully cost for the roof was just over 40,000. Of that, I received grants of, I think, something like 16,000 grants. So I was 24,000 short. Now, 24,000 to me is a lot of money. 24,000 to anybody is a lot of money, you know. And that particular year got me into a lot of bother because Thatcher had to be paid and different people fell behind, you know, namely banks, namely taxman. And I got into a lot of bother them number of years after that, you know.
So the building has been thatched three times since 1985, 2007 and 2019?
Yeah. And the back now has to be done. But I'm afraid the back's going to cost, I've got the quotation for that, the back's going to cost in around 20,000 as well. Now, have I got my grants, my total grants in 2019? Am I going to get any more grants for the back? I don't know. But again, if these buildings is listed and protected, I mean, you should be getting full grants. I'm not getting the full grants anyhow, because I know for a fact if this building was in the Gaeltacht, if this building was on any of the islands off the coast, you get full grants, and I'm not getting the full grants, and I don't think it's fair. Maybe a pub, but again, a pub doesn't justify me to come up with an extra 24,000 to pay for a thatch roof, you know. A thatch roof that I can't do anything with. I would take the thatch roof off, but again, I'm not allowed to take the thatch roof off, and again, I can't get insurance because of the thatch roof.
What's your next step?
I don't know. I have been on to a few ministers. That Minister Darrell O'Brien, I think, is the Minister for Heritage. Yeah, Darrell O'Brien is the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage. I sent him a letter the 20th of October, explained my case about insurance, about the grants. The grants were insufficient. The insurance, I can't get insurance, and what were they going to do about it? And to be honest, Kieran, I'm still waiting for his reply. He hadn't even the manners to reply to me, you know. I get on well with a couple of people in the county council, Clett Beattie, namely one, and Clett asked me to ring or get in contact with the junior minister. His name's Malcolm Noonan. So I wrote down to Malcolm Noonan, the same thing, but Malcolm come back to me, fair enough. He rang me and come back to me with a letter explaining all about grants. But the thing is, I know all about the grants. It's you know, how they're sharing the grants out. It's more grants that I need. Rather than getting 20%, I really want to get 70%, 75%, 80% of the grant. Like, but I'm not getting that. And regards an insurance, he finished up by saying that it's out of his, you know, it's not his department. But yet and all they're telling me I have a thatch roof. I have to look after the thatch roof. I'm doing my best with the thatch roof. And when I try to get it insured, I can't get an insurance. So they're turning their back on the insurance, and they're really turning their back on the grants as well. You know,
you mentioned the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Can they do more, do you feel? Or is that a source of support that you'll go looking for again?
I don't. I've been on to the Vintners, as I say. They've given me their, what would you call them, insurance broker. Now, I've been with them. I've dealing with them this last year, trying to get something sorted out. But I just can't get affordable assurance. There's one crowd all right in Cork, I think they were going to insure me, but it was worse again. I think it was nine and a half thousand or something, and it's far too much money for a wee pub. My, as I said, my turnover doesn't justify that, am I? And for me to dish out €1,000 a month in insurance is chronic, you know. It's criminal by them insurance companies, but that's what I'm up against at the minute, and that's what I want the government to do. I need the government to step in and do something about these such properties, listed buildings. There was a programme on RT there with Aileen Magner. I think they were down about Glencolum Kill, and somebody asked Joe Gallagher, who's in the council, about the cottages. These such cottages are starting to disappear, and he says the reason being is they can't get insurance. So, I mean, it just boils down to insurance. Now, I think the government should be stepping in. I'm sure there's not that many buildings like this with it. You know, it is a traditional thatch roof. It's not a roof with tin and then thatch on it. This is the vice is the real McCoy, you know, for thatch roof.
How difficult has the last year been, Manus? Obviously, your problems have been compounded with your insurance difficulties. Reflecting on the year overall, when you close the doors, what's it been like in the last year and 2 weeks in convoy?
Well, as I said at the start there, I thought this was only going to last, what, maybe a couple of months max, but it's gone on. Like, it's boring now, Kieran, at the minute, you know. And what can you do? Like, we've done a bit of painting on the side, we've passed the time doing that, but there's only a certain amount you can do. And you meet people in the street there, and they're joking, you're looking to get in for a pint, you know. I'd love them to get in for a pint, but It's just strange, and I don't know if it's ever going to be the same again, you know. And when am I going to get open is another one. I can't see us getting open this summer at all, you know.
What is your view in relation to how the government has handled publicans and the hospitality sector?
Well, they were opening the wet pubs always. I don't know who come up with the name wet pub, but the gastropubs, the ones that are doing the food, I don't see no real difference why both sets of pubs couldn't open at the one time. I know probably they have a point, it might be a bit harder to do the social distancing in a pub that is not doing the food. You know, when a pub that's doing the food, probably set out that you have six or seven people or six or whatever it was around the table, you're there for your hour, hour and a half, you have to go. Wet pubs would be a bit different. You have five or six around the table and you ask them to go maybe after an hour and a half. It could be it's a different ball game, you know, but I still think they should have got a chance. I mean, there's nothing to say, there's no proof to say that wet pubs is the cause of the, you know, the COVID cases increasing, because they were never open for cases to increase, you know. And from what I've seen in the gastro pubs, they were all well run. So, I don't know. Maybe they're using the pub as an excuse, but the excuse is nearly burnt out now at this stage.
Tell me, Manus, what do you miss most about the pub?
What do I miss most? Well, you miss the crack now, in fairness, Kieran. During the weeks, we'd be quiet here anyhow, you know, Monday, from Thursday night on, you get a few people on Friday. Friday night starts a bit of crack. Saturday, you have the slagging day, you know, so Saturday's a great mighty entertainment from about 4 o'clock to 9 on Saturday if you're not thick skinned, stay out more or less, you know, because everybody's in for a bit of a touch on a Saturday afternoon. Sunday then you have your football again, and Sunday's always pretty good to 9 or 10 o'clock, and then days of death right enough, but aye, you miss all that. Miss the banter, miss the slagging, really, you know.
Convoy is an area that has been as rich in sporting tradition. You have Convoy Arsenal, you have St Mary's. The Donegal Centre of Excellence has recently opened up the road.
the athletic club is here, the community development group is here. So there's a lot goes on in Convoy.
Oh, there is indeed, yeah. And as I say, the two clubs, the Gaelic club, done very well last year. You know, won the junior. So things are good for the town sportways. You know, they have the best of facilities. I mean, that St Mary's J club up there is one of the best pitches in the country. You know, and the soccer club, again, great facilities down there. And great bunch of lads and both camps, you know.
Manus, if you had followed your childhood dream job, what would you be doing now?
I think now, if I was to turn the clock back a bit, now I think I might steer clear of the pub, in fairness. But I don't know, Kieran. I was always brought up in the pub, you know. I was in the pub since I went to St. Junan's in 75. I've been in the pub all my life. And eventually I knew I was taking over the pub, so there wasn't much else on my mind, just whatever day I was going to step in and take over from my father, you know, and that happened in 1997.
What's the biggest change that you've noted in that time in the pub?
From 97? Mm-hmm. When I took over in 97, I'd done plans up and done a big extension down the back. I'd opened in 2001. I had a great 3 or 4 years from that. Now, and business was very, very good from 2000 to 2007. And things started to go downhill after that because I had to block off the lounge because I was paying enormous rates as well. And the only way to cut the rates out, I had to block the main part of the building off down there. So there's, I think it was 64% of the rateable valuation is blocked off. But definitely the crowds, the people, the young ones have a different, I think that a lot of young ones now take their own drink. They drink about the house and then they were heading to the discos and one thing and another. And you would miss all that, you know, you miss the young ones. But definitely the crowds, they've went down over the last number of years. Pubs got quieter, you know. The good thing is that I have a wee bar there and a wee adjacent lounge to it, and it's, when you have 40 or 50 people in there now, that's plenty, and the crowd's good in it, you know.
Manage and Convoy has been the venue for quite a few big nights during the years, Manage.
Alcatraz, surely. Between the Cups, there used to be the Convoy Summer Cup would have been a big night for many as a team, probably including yourself, Kieran, as well, from what I remember, from the Archer days, you know. But, my father would have run the Summer Cup for years. And then Convoy Arsenal actually took over it then and run it. But it's just a pity that Summer Cup stopped, you know. But then the football's gone now 12 months a year anyhow, so there's probably no time for Summer Cups.
And finally, Manus, what lies ahead for yourself and your business in 2021?
Good question. If we could get opened, Kieran would be... that's the main thing. I think that's the main thing in every publican's mind, is trying to get the bar open again. So... when that's going to happen, I don't know. I'm hoping it'll be sooner than later. As I say, I can't imagine the pubs open before the summer. But whenever we get open, like, we'll have to try and push it again. But I think there's going to be enormous damage is going to be done to the pubs now at this stage. And I think this carry on of opening now, maybe at 11 in the morning, is gone. It's gone for the smaller towns anyhow. It'll be evening business and then your weekends. And I think even the Vintners have come up with something stupid anyway. They said they're going to extend the hours on a Sunday night to 12:30. Now, who wants to be out on a Sunday night to 12:30? Like, I can't understand. That's grand for big towns, Letterkenny, maybe, where the population's there, that a lot of people are off on Mondays. But rather than them coming out with that during the pandemic, that they're going to extend hours, that's putting an actual date on when we're going to get opening. That's what people want to hear, you know. And I know they can't do that at the present minute, but I'm looking forward to getting the bar open again. You miss it, as I say, you miss the crack, you miss the meeting the people, and a lot of the people miss coming in as well, you know. They're missing their pint again, or their pint of this, or their wee half, or whatever, you know.
Manus Gallagher, owner of Manny's Bar and Convoy, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Not at all, thanks, Kieran.
Next up is our backing business segment. Joining me on the line is Head of Business at Letterkenny Institute of Technology, Michael Margie. Michael, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Hi, Kieran. Good to be back on talking to you again. It's a pleasure always.
Michael, tourism is part of your remit, and tourism is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're looking at some program areas in tourism. We're trying to reinvent that space at the moment. And, you know, I suppose we have a couple of case studies here of programs that we've tried to change around, I suppose, for the 21st century. And with the advent of the pandemic and all that there, you know, we've moved them largely online. There were a diploma in tourism destination marketing, a certificate in revenue generation and digital media, and another one in regional guiding, and three quite different programs. But we've made a big change there, and they've proved very successful. We've people as far away as Athlone and Mayo and Mullingar, and of course for anybody within Donegal, obviously with the travel restrictions and that there, it's made it very easy for people to still do these programs, a very vital area in terms of reskilling and upskilling in the tourism area, and giving them a skill set in terms of, you know, looking at the digital and the implications of that for their sector.
Tying in the digital with the potential of tourism in Donegal is really going to be the way forward for ourselves here and in the Northwest, Michael.
Yeah, it's changing everything. I mean, you know, it's 2021, but we've probably jumped 3 or 4 years into the future in terms of where we thought we'd be in digital. This model is very user-friendly. It's been designed to be user-friendly. It really is a part-time courses for full-time lives, and really taking account of people's lifestyles. And, you know, why they want to do things is they really wanted to have an impact in their job environment and really wanted to have an impact in their firm, in their business that they're working for. So it really is work-based learning programs. And we designed them, normally running the program for us would take about 15 weeks before you get to the end of it, you get the exam. And these ones, we really pushed ourselves to redesign them where it's really 6 weeks of teaching and 8 weeks it finishes the program. So it's highly innovative. You do it one at a time rather than doing 3 or 4 modules at a time in parallel with each other, which means you have a lot of different dimensions to take in. But it seems to be working. The feedback has been very, very powerful. And, you know, the whole assessment approach is based on what will be related to moving yourself in your job role or moving your organization up to the next level.
How soon do you see the benefit of the courses that you're talking about, Michael, kicking in?
Well, you see it immediately. And I don't say that flippantly either, because everything you're doing, you're applying it to your work environment, right? And if you're out of the work environment at the moment, you're still applying it in case studies, but you're looking at how your business was working, how it could be working in the future, or the job that I'm in, how it's going to be different, what's the new skill sets I need to have, how am I going to apply them, what has changed, how are we going to get in contact, how are we going to get the word out? You know, when you look at, say, social media, how are you going to work with influencers, how are you going to work with search engine optimization, data analytics, paid and unpaid advertisement, rooms management now a whole new dimension in terms of when you bring the technology into it. And then you have the basics then in terms of consumer behavior, entrepreneurship, marketing, and looking also internationally in terms of what's the trends in Europe and outside of Europe as well, in terms of any best practice we can pick up there, any tricks that we can see that's going on in the tourism industry that's working. We want to bring that back then into bear, into Donegal or into the Western aspects, geography of the West here.
And obviously the relaxing of the restrictions, Michael, are going to determine maybe how soon the tourism sector can kick off again.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an uphill struggle. I think initially in the beginning, you know, you're going to see obviously more local tourism, stay-at-home tourism, staycations and that sort of stuff. But I think for some of the tourism enterprises that are out there, you know, they're looking to get fired back up again, to get back into business again. Where's their employee base? You know, have they moved on to other things? Have they retrained into other areas? So that's going to be a challenge as well. And then in terms of the longer term sustainability, when you look at it in terms of a year, you know, you normally get your biggest boost during the summer period, and you hope that it's strong enough to get you through the much more leaner months in the deep winter. So, you know, there's going to have to be a lot of support. As I said before, it's got to be proportionate and creative for that industry sector.
And finally, Michael, before I let you go, you are president of the Rakini Chamber as well. How are things going with the Chamber?
Things are going well with the Chamber. I mean, obviously, it's very challenging times. But I have to say, when you look at the business community, when you look at how they're pulling together, I think it's brought us to a new level in terms of how we work, in terms of how we organise ourselves, and in terms of how we bring resilience into it, and how we're beginning to feed ideas out to each other and back from each other in terms of here's how we can help each other, here's how we can change what we're doing, here's how we can pivot, reinvent ourselves. And I mean, the response has been superb. and the response of the public as well in terms of supporting the businesses and the employees that have been in them when they can get out to shop or now when they're doing it online has been excellent as well.
And that was Michael Margy from Letterkenny IT. After the break, we'll be catching up with owner of CBM Signs in Letterkenny, Bernard Gallagher.
Do you need to develop the online presence of your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service is recruiting for its next online diploma in social media for business. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie.
Joining me on Business Matters is Bernard Gallagher, owner of CBM Signs in Letterkenny. Bernard, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
Bernard, COVID-19 has had a negative impact on many businesses in the country, but it has also provided opportunities, and CBM is one of the companies that has provided opportunities for.
Well, it has, Kieran, but now we'd rather be doing our normal everyday work. I suppose going back a year ago now to March, Paddy's Day last year, that Friday, that's a day I'll stick. It's one of those days, it's like, where were you when 9/11 was? It's one of those days I'll stick in your memory. We closed the door, the staff was all panicking, we were closing, the phone was ringing, suppliers were panicking, everybody was panicking that day. It was funny that day, must have been midterm, or the schools were off that Friday, because a lot of the accounts people in all the different departments were off. The phones were hopping, there was ringing, people looking to get paid, and people to get paid, and people paying bills, and it was one of those days that he closed the door, and it was scary, because you didn't win, the staff was coming to you worried. Young staff, old staff, staff with mortgages, and your own stuff to worry about as well. And everybody was coming to the boss, and it was one of those days. Now it was a tough day. You closed the door, and it was one of those few times where business operates 24/7. Usually, that the whole place was closing, everywhere around you was closing. You didn't know when you were going to be open. It was a scary. It was scary at the start. Now COVID-19, no doubt. Suppose then, as the weekend passed, we discovered what was essential. We discovered there was more talk. There was some of the essential businesses. Then the builders and stuff. The stuff had to get done. They'd be customers of ours for years. They started ringing. They started ringing me. We'd have a good relationship and know them for years. And we discovered then hold on a minute here. We've stuff to do here, and we're serving the essential customers. And we got in and. I suppose the year ended up all right to the end of the year, because there's different parts of the economy opened up again. There was different areas needed served at different times. It was a tough year, because you had all supply issues. No more so now with the vaccines. Like Perspex was like gold dust. It trebled in price overnight. You were ordering 3 months in advance. Did you order too much? Did you order too little? Different things. You were meeting different types of business people, different types of problems, and they're all asking opinions, and it was a tough year last year for a lot of people on a lot of fronts. There was nothing nice about last year.
What would have been your typical day or week 12 months ago, pre-COVID, Bernard, compared to what a typical day or week is now, 12 months on?
Well, CBM Signs would have been, we start out as, I suppose, number plates, and we started out in 07, would have been number plates, car stickers, van writing, vehicle graphics. That's still our bread and butter. As we grew older then, we developed into other, we'd do a lot of shops, a lot of retail branding, do a lot of museums. We did a lot of work in the Titanic Museum in Belfast when that opened, we were one of our key projects. Other things would have became national. When we started out, Letterkenny was our business. Now we've got customers all over the country, customers all over the world. We're doing stuff this week for customers in America. Sending stuff out. We've customers in Australia. We think nothing now of shipping something away. The guy's fitting. Think nothing of going to Dublin or Belfast. I suppose our base here, vehicle graphics and signs locally, and then we do a lot of onlines as well. We do floor graphics, do wall graphics. I say Titanic Museum was a mixture of 3D letter signs, wayfinding signs, information stuff, printed wallpaper, a lot of unique stuff. It varies from day to day. Safety, health and safety signs, construction industry would be a big part of our business. We'd have clients in FDA, the foreign direct investment clients, from different projects with them. You'd be rebranding them, changing their names, different companies around the country. So we I would say in the 10 years before that, if we sold 2 sheets of Perspex was the most. We were selling it by the pallet loads when COVID came in and just changed the whole thing around.
You'll be 15 years in business this year. Bernard, can you take me back to how you set up CBM Signs?
Well, I suppose if you'd asked me when I was at school, would I be a sign maker? I would have probably said no.
What did you want to be when you were at school?
An accountant I had in my head. For business was always part. Grand and Granda, James and Margaret McKellion up on the top of the Port Road there. I would have been very close to them. I would have been the oldest grandchild. I was kind of, suppose if there was any shopping, they would have looked after me. Me and Granda would have been very close. Suppose as he got older, I got wiser, kind of the relationship changed. He was looking after me, and to the end up, I was kind of looking after him. And, you know, the strong work ethic, that older generation, you know, it was, you get up every morning, you go to your work, and you reap the rewards, hard work, you know, work hard, play hard. So then, suppose I was in IT, I'd done a business accountancy course in IT, and 06, 04, 06, around that time. And I failed, actually failed my final exams. But I ran for student president that year, and with a couple of other things going on, there was actually an election, that was 07. The year Jimmy McDay got elected. I was doing signs and bits and pieces on the side during that time. And I remember one of Jimmy's supporters, the general election that year was the same week as my final exams. I remember one of them coming on through the IT, the library in the IT, looking for me because they were looking for stuff done. So suppose I hadn't the right mindset. I failed the exams. Something that annoyed me. I was burned out and fed up that year. There's some friends who are going to Australia.
You tempted to go?
I was all for going. That time in 07, you're going to Australia because you wanted to go. It wasn't because you had to go. They were going for a year, 9 months. A couple of the ones I was at college with. And, you see, everything happens for a reason. They couldn't afford to go right away when I finished in June. I wanted away because I failed my exams. I didn't know what I was doing. I was annoyed with myself. I wanted to go, they couldn't go, so sitting about, I was working grand and grand in the jewellers, but family business, anybody in a family business knows it's not, family businesses, you don't get all the bells and whistles all the time either. You know, I was up, but, you know, I was the grandchild, and a grandchild, you know, was the favourite, you know, I suppose I was the favourite grandchild with Granda, but I was on that, you know, that comes with, you don't get those same wage and same bits and pieces, you know, I needed to move on and do my own thing.
You looked at Eugene Kelly's unit?
Yeah, I looked at a lot of units that time. I looked at Eugene's, it was a nice size, it wasn't too big, it was manageable. I thought it was kind of within budget and within everything, and in fairness to Eugene, he kitted it out very well for me. He sorted electrics and sorted a lot of things to get me started. That was a big difference, and a lot of these other units, they needed all kitted out, there was expense with that, so we started and August 07, number plate signs, pitch signs, safety signs around the back there. And
can you remember your first job, Bernard?
We done a lot of stuff at the start for John Watson. Watson Hire started around the same time. John would have been one of our first customers. John and Alfie Green. Alfie Green would have been another person that we would have done work for. But I was doing work for the estate agents. Manus McGrady would have been married to Auntie Anne. And it was Manus kind of had the signs. That's how I got into the signs. He initially bought the first machine for doing his own signs. He was busy in the boom that time. He hadn't the time for it. I started footering at it and playing about with the machine and doing his stuff. And then we were doing a couple other estate agents. And then it kind of grew from there. So, like, you know, it was Manus that had the initial. He bought the machine one Friday because things were flying high in the height of the boom. And he didn't do a lot with it, and I used to be about with Manus, not showing an odd house and leaflets and bits and pieces like that in the evenings, and we started into it, and then I bought another machine then, upgraded the machine, and we kind of went from there then. So, you know, started small.
How many employees here now, Bernard?
I have 8 full-time employees here now. That's as much as we can, and those premises we have a graphic designers, we have fitters, we have people in the counter, we have wrap, we have certified wrap people for wrapping vans and vehicle wraps, different skill sets. It's developed the business over the last 10 years massively. When I started, you could start with a plotter, single colours, a couple of €1,000 get you going. Now to get started, you need a graphic designer, first of all, because everybody comes in and they want the picture of their Facebook page, they want their picture of Instagram, they want this on the side of the van. They want high quality stuff. They want imagery. So it's changed completely. You need a graphic designer. You need the machines now. It's gone, we're 4 or 5 times as much. You know, you're chatting 50, 60, up to 100 grand a machine now for the machines you need. We're constantly updating the stuff. And you need different staff then. The wrapping's a career in its own then, being able to do that. That's a skill in its own. So you need a wider skill set. You just couldn't start up now, one-man band, as handy as you could back then. But now we're plugging away at it. The recession came then in 2008. it was a big learning curve. So it was the only thing that benefited us. We only started, so there was no big debt built up. There was no big operating costs. We were fit to weather it okay. It didn't make that big a difference. Some of our opposition fell to the one side. I suppose it opened up opportunities for us. We got more customers in because of that. You know, with things developed, we got a name for doing a good product, a good price, and made fair, quick turnaround. You know, if we could get somebody sorted, we always got them sorted. That's, you can't have to look after. You're only as good as your last job. We built up a good repeat business. As I said, like John Watson's my first customer, and Watson Hire, we're still doing stuff for John there. As you see, there's stuff here today. Alfie Green as well. Like, we built up a good customer base. Now, you get friendly. You build up a rapport with your customers and your community. Like, a lot of businesses in Letterkenny and Donegal know well, on different levels. And been through the recession and put a lot of people in tight corners, and you work with them. They worked with you and you worked with them, and we got through it. So community, especially now during COVID as well, I think everybody depends on the local business to help them and advise them, and that's something that may be one of the benefits of the COVID. Maybe it's focused. I had one client came to me there funny in recent times, and that's what he said. He said he used to price saw the whole country 3 or 4 times and go with the cheapest price every time. Now he's discovered, looking back what he timed during the thing, that he wasn't getting the best bang for his buck.
Have you noticed that there's more of an interest, or people are keener to do business locally now?
Ack there, but I think Donegal people are always keen to support Donegal people. Like, you see, like that Dublin business or Donegal Dublin business network. Like, I think the Irish are always keen to support Irish. I suppose every nationality is the same. But I think local business, because local business support local communities. It's like the old saying, you know, these multinationals are great and they might be cheaper than the Amazons and the Googles, but they're not supporting the local under-10 football side, or they're not supporting the local track team, or they're not supporting the local soccer team. So, you know, that's something that, you know, supporting local supports local communities. It keeps the money in the local economy. And I suppose that's more surreal up here in Donegal. We're kind of up on our own here in the northwest. When you know, we need to group together and work together for everybody's benefit.
You mentioned important perspex and large volumes of it. Have you had any problems on your supply in recent times?
The supply chain wasn't during last year during the pandemic. It wasn't too bad. They were very sure when it was coming. You're ordering, and it could have take. Like, I remember ordering stuff 3 months in advance, but it was there on the date that said it was going to be there. Now, in fairness, I was only taking it from Dublin. They were importing it from other countries, Germany. I had a funny, it was all Europe. I thought that kind of stuff would have been China, but it would have been all Europe. And, funny, that's a thing that I learned. When we had a bit of time during COVID, we were looking at different supply lines. We knew Brexit was coming up well, and we're looking at different suppliers, and, you know, here, and we're looking at UK and mainland Europe and China. And funny what I learned in my trade is that some of the Chinese stuff isn't actually, you can buy it in Europe and buy it in the UK as cheap as you could buy it in China. It wasn't cheaper. Some of the stuff isn't, but you had to be careful. So you know, that was something. But no, it came. But now this year, since Brexit came in, it's been tougher with supply lines. Stuff's getting held up with customs. You could order 6 boxes of material, 4 of them's arriving. 5th one could arrive the next day, the next one could be a week before you see it. And it's always the one you're waiting on, the one you need first. So there has been issues with Brexit. Brexit's been masked by COVID. I don't think we've felt the full effects of Brexit yet. You know, the next day delivery and the next day shopping, I think, could be a thing of the past. It is from the UK to Ireland, anyway. So I don't know, when the retail gets fully open, you see retail hasn't been opened because of the lockdown, so I don't think we've felt the full effects. I think there's going to be more shortages of stuff and more delays. There's definitely going to be delays in getting materials on and getting products on.
Tell me, Bernard, what words of advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Oh God, what words of advice? I don't know. I suppose every day is a new day, and every day is a school day. You don't know everything, and you're not going to take over the world either. I suppose when you're young and eager, you think you're the best at everything, and you want to take over the world, and that's not the case. As I've learned, you don't want to take over the world if you don't want it all either, for it comes all the headaches. For all the good customers, there's other, you know, for all good business decisions, there's bad business decisions and bad business partners, so Suppose you see people starting out when they're young and they're eager and that, you know, they think they're going to take over the world, and that doesn't happen, and life and stuff gets in the way too. It's not all about the money as well. You know, your family comes on board. Suppose I started young, free and single. I was able to take risks. It wasn't the end of the world if you went a week without, but now I'm married, three kids, married to Emma, and you have mortgages, you have other things. Now you have to be more careful and plan for the future better. You can't take the same risks as you could when you're younger.
And finally, Bernard, what does the future hold for yourself and CBM Science?
Suppose this year we'll navigate through this year and see what happens. We're quiet at the minute. It's funny, the economy at the minute. There's kind of a two-sided economy. There's certain businesses doing very well, and there's a lot of retail, a lot of good hospitality retail customers are closed, and it's sad to see, and it's annoying for them, and they're getting frustrated because they see that themselves, the hairdressers and different hotels and stuff, and it must be awful for them as well, seeing their businesses closed, because these are people who are used to going 24/7, night times, day times, big operations, and we need to get them open, and they need to find their feet and see how the economy is when everything settles down, see how Brexit goes. We have plans for another extension. We have a new site located. I don't think it's going to be this year now. It's probably going to go into next year. That'll allow us some more staff. Online's where our focus is for growth. We can be very competitive online up here in Donegal and serve the whole country from our base here in Letterkenny.
Bernard Gallagher, owner of CBM Science in Letterkenny, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thanks, you.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Manus Gallagher, Michael Margie, and Bernard Gallagher. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ATBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce in one of the most critical and fundamental digital skills of our time through its spreadsheet programmes.